Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back the rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Welcome to Southpaws, episode 394. Delete Twitter. Beep boop.
I thought we were going to call it Your Phone is Fascist.
Your phone is fascist because it has the internet on it and there's fascists on Twitter.
Yes.
So I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And I'm concerned.
Okay. Shiva. Well, as you all should be because
I'm
the world.
I'm concerned.
Is...
I'm dad.
Oh, God. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Good night. It's been another exciting week here in the hellscape known as the United States. I'm here. I'm still queer. I've had a very expensive week with lots of dentisting.
Mm.
Dental away.
You have played a lot of WoW, I'm assuming, Shiva?
Not as much as I would like to have, because between my schedule, because I don't get home till 7:30, and then make dinner and all this other stuff, I've gotten to maybe play, like, at most 2 hours a night.
Oh, man.
So I have not gotten to play all that much.
And Fuzz, you're prepping to go to Worldcon.
Remember last week when I said Tyrion was like, eh, maybe I might do the new expansion? He, of course, immediately fucking played it.
Yeah, I'll admit that...
Not much,
honestly,
because we were prepping for
so far,
Worldcon.
The leveling is really fun and good story. You get lots and lots of fox people.
Yeah.
Yay. It's actually really fun.
I really hope they make the Volpera an allied race. I don't think they will, but I really wish they would.
I don't know. The Snek people look cool, too, and they're neat.
So I nearly had a moment of weakness after my dentist appointment yesterday. I had a little time to kill before we had lunch, Fuzz. Mm-hmm. And I told you I didn't want to, like, go home and then immediately leave again because that would make Adam upset.
Yes.
So I was fucking around at Plano and went by the fries up there. And I was like, you know what? If they have a collector's edition sitting on the shelf, I will just fucking buy it. But they didn't. So my wallet was safe. So yeah, Fuzz, Worldcon, here's a big deal.
Yeah, so tomorrow I'm going to have an extremely long day. Ajax is going to take me to the train station that I normally go to go to work. And I'm going to take the train to work with my luggage. And then I'm going to get off work. I'm going to take the train to DFW. Goes right into the Terminal A, where American Airlines is. And then I'm going to fly out to Worldcon. And I will get there... My flight's like 8:50, and I will, due to the time change, I'll arrive at in San Francisco at like 10:30, and then take a lift like 45 minutes to the hotel. So I will be there super late tomorrow, and then I will just fucking collapse.
Yeah, she'll be there for Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Send us pictures from there. I'm curious what it looks like.
Yeah. Oh, I've got a few pictures of our booth. So I'll show you those, and I'm going to take more pictures when I'm out there. I'm actually leaving Tuesday because Worldcon is a 5-day dealing con. So dealing started today. Yesterday was all set up. This morning was set up from 9 till noon, and then they're open 12 till 6 today. And then it's like 10 to 6, 10 to 6, 10 to 6 on Sunday, 10 to 3 on Monday. And then we break down. Pack the rental car, and then Tuesday, Zia and I will have to drive to a local post office to ship the rest of the stock back and our displays and stuff like that back home. This is why, like, I'm not going to the whole con, because it's really long, and I used up PTO going to that thing in Tennessee a couple weeks ago. And Tyrion is going to be leaving either Sunday night or early Monday morning, because he's doing Denver next weekend.
Yep.
And then the weekend after that, I'm doing Method with Ajax.
So how many attendees does Worldcon get? I know the tickets are kind of pricey.
It varies. It's generally, I mean, it's not a huge con. The one we went to in San Antonio had about 3,000 people. They're expecting about 5,000 people. The tables are indeed kind of pricey.
Well, attendance is like 200.
The attendance is 200, but part of the reason behind that is that if you attend or you buy a supporting membership, you get access to be able to vote in the Hugo Awards. And part of that is that they give you a Hugo packet electronically. Mm. So you get ebooks of all the nominated short stories, sometimes the whole or partial of the nominated best novels, and other issues of like the best nominated fanzines and stuff like that. So, like, I'm assuming that there's some kind of publisher compensation or author compensation with that. So you're partially paying for that and paying to support them doing the Hugo Awards. And they have those massive, super heavy statues made that are the actual mm-hmm. award, and all that shit's expensive. I mean, and it's obviously a non-profit or not-for-profit organization.
So, you know, I went to SmofCon, Secret Masters of Fandom.
Yes.
Which is actually, it's primarily attended by WorldCon, but anybody who runs cons is invited to come and chip in.
Funny enough, this weekend, the FCLR conference is going on in Reno, which is the Furry Convention Leadership Roundtable. It is a convention, a furry con for how to do furry cons. So they're all in Reno this weekend doing that. And SmofCon was here locally when you guys
went, yeah, because right? It moves around just like WorldCon. It was out in Fort Worth.
Yeah, next year's WorldCon's in Ireland. So
I know that it's in New Zealand in 2020 because every time they stand up to do anything, they say such and such world, where you're from, and then the year. And this one gal, she talked a lot, and she was like, New Zealand 2020.
So she was on the CONCOM for the 2020 WorldCon?
Mm-hmm.
I
don't know how far.
Probably have an interesting perspective.
I don't know how far out they book those. It's got to be a while.
It's about 3 or 4 years.
Well, this was 2 years ago that I went to SmofCon, and they already knew that there was. It's got to be like 5 years or so.
Yeah. Like, and different cities bid on it. Like, a sci-fi group will come together and, like, they'll set up a lot of their infrastructure to do a convention and stuff like that. And they'll be like, we want to have WorldCon in Dallas in 2028. And we'll submit a bid, and it will go to the committee. And it's actually, that's another thing that attendees of the cons vote on, is where the future World Cons will take place. And so the last time I went to World Con, all of the bid teams had room parties. So there was a group from Orlando that was bidding, and there was a group from Seattle, or what's the other one? Spokane was there. So, like, basically, you go to their room party, and they're like, they host a room party. Basically, we're going to have the best room party ever, because it shows your organizing prowess, and it's also trying to convince people to vote for your bid to have WorldCon in your city. And it goes all around the world. And usually on the years when there is not a WorldCon in the United States, they will do a North American science fiction convention somewhere on the North American continent instead. So for the people that aren't able or willing to travel overseas for it. This one, this year, is in San Jose, and it's in the same convention center as Further Confusion.
And I know that one thing I picked up there is that everybody pays to go to WorldCon. If you're a volunteer, you don't get in for free. You have to pay the same ticket price as everybody. Mm. And what they do is when they get done and they pay all their bills, if there's anything left over, then you'll get whatever refund might be left to divvy out what's there. And you might get paid. You might get a partial pay. You might get it for free. But you don't know until it's done and all the bills are paid.
Right.
And then what was the other thing? Every WorldCon is a unique individual. Unlike Fiesta and other cons, where we carry over funds if there are any. And Fiesta is a unique model in that case.
This can also be why the cost is so high to get into WorldCon, because they're building up their budget.
Everything is a one shot for every single WorldCon. Like, there's no carryover. There's no like materials help. You have to basically get everything from scratch and then build a con one time each time.
Yep.
I can't think of how, because you have to rent it, everything. You can't
unless you're being put on by a group that's already doing another con. Like, if Drama wanted to, like, make a bid to do Worldcon, like, just, you wouldn't. But I'm just saying, well, Drama, because of Fiesta and Siesta, already owns a bunch of stuff and mm-hmm. acquires more stuff every year. So the local furry community, at least, would actually be a little bit better off than a lot of con committees if they wanted to make a bid to do a world con. But usually you have to have like a very strong and involved local science fiction community to do something like that. Like, I could see the people that are doing All Con or Con DFW or Armadillo Con down in Austin. If you wanted to do another Texas con, mm-hmm. you know, maybe like you would like pull from groups like that in order to staff your event, you know. And hell, if they do another Worldcon ever in Texas, like, I'd totally see them. I could see, like, hey, let's get the Furry Fiesta people, let's get some volunteers and stuff like that, and like, it would allow us to have a furry presence at Worldcon. Mm-hmm. But it is a very different kind of operation than what we're used to as furries going mm-hmm. to furry conventions. This is not going to be a big money-making con for us. I would like to be able to cover our costs, which are considerable, between the cost of all four of us flying out there.
Shipping.
Two tables, four registrations, which are discounted for dealers at least. Shipping all of the stuff out there. Shipping the overstock and the permanent stuff like our display racks back. Staying in a hotel for like 6 nights, I think it is. And yeah, it adds up to a lot. We ended up, instead of renting a car for the entire time, which was the original plan, we realized, like, we're at a hotel that's 4 miles away from the convention center because the room blocks filled up pretty quickly and we didn't get into the main hotels. And even this little hotel miles away, it's $12 a night to park. And the convention center is $20 a day to park with no in-out. So if we, like, drove our car to the convention center for the day, checked in, then you're paying basically $32 a day in parking, you know?
Yeah.
And that would add up, like, super fucking quickly. So what we ended up doing was Tieran is getting a rental car for a day. We picked it up at the airport. Oh, something I discovered. There's an Enterprise rent-a-car office in the Hilton that's attached to the convention center, which is super handy.
Mm.
So he picked up the car from the airport, drove to the convention center, unloaded everything, checked the car into the Hilton's Enterprise rent-a-car. And then on Monday, I will pick up a car from that Enterprise, load it all up, park at the hotel, and then Tuesday, drop off the stuff, drive to the airport, check the car in, and fly home. And that's actually saving us like $200 or $300 on car related expenses. Because, like, yeah, it's going to be kind of a squeaker if we make any money. It's actually, this con for us is more about networking and exposure for our authors and, like, exposure for our non-furry brand, our more mainstream-friendly brand, which some of our authors are published under and have, like, borderline mainstream stuff. But we're right next to Sofa Wolf, so we can kind of, like, lean on each other for assistance. We're throwing a room party with Sofa Wolf, which will sort of be like a, hey, come meet the furries, learn what we're all about, learn about our small presses and the kind of stuff we publish, and also all the furries that are at the con, which is at least a dozen, probably more. We'll, like, have, like, a like-minded group to party with on Saturday night. And I'm hoping to, I expect it to be a pretty chill event, but I'm hoping to see, like, all of our authors that are present. And some have come in from out of town, like Mary Loud will be there. And then, like, all of our authors in that area, Watts Martin, Tim Sussman, Ryan Campbell, they're all going to be there. Ursula Vernon, because she's nominated for a Hugo, is, again, it's not a Hugo. It's a new award in a different category, but it's basically a Hugo for Best YA Novel for Summer in Orcus. So she's going to be there. We'll have her signing books at our table, which that'll be a draw for people. And so it's more about exposure and networking. And like, and I'm actually looking forward to a more chill, laid back kind of getting to chat with the people that I work with more, as opposed to the go of a really busy furry convention. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. It should be fun. And then, yeah, like all of our emails and stuff like that are kind of like I put up notes on the website saying shipping department is closed right now because we have 3 cons in 3 weeks. And it's not so much that like nobody will be home to ship the orders. Part of the time that's true, but it's also because lack of product. Like
you're gonna have it with you.
Yeah, we're print on demand. So like we don't have a massive warehouse full of thousands of copies of each title. Like we'll have some with us and then we'll sell a bunch of it. So like by the time Mephit rolls around in 3 weeks, I'll be taking what I have on hand that wasn't sold out at Worldcon in Denver.
Well.
So, you know, yeah, we've stocked up a little bit, but still, you know, that's one of the challenges of doing of our business model. But normally we don't have 3 cons in 3 weeks, so usually it's not as big an issue. But long story short, I'm looking forward to Worldcon. Actually, go ahead and talk about this. This was one of the topics that I raised. So there is a douchebag who was banned from Worldcon. Like they actually like refunded a portion of his money, I think, and they're like, you can still vote in the Hugos and stuff, but you're not allowed to attend. And he's one of these sad puppy slash rabid puppy people. They're like the super right wing people that want science fiction to be like it used to be before all these women and minorities and gay people were writing books and winning awards. So he's actually hooked up with the local alt-right groups out in California. And they're going to have a protest at the convention center on Saturday. And the local to the area anti-fascist group has planned a counter-protest. And so I'm assuming the Worldcon staff is just like, fuck me, head and hands, you know, like, why, you know? But they're like, we'll gladly escort people to the other exits and entrances of the convention center when that's happening. It'll only be on like one side of the building. People are concerned for their safety. Luckily, if you're staying at the Hilton or the Marriott, it's physically attached to the convention center, so you don't actually have to go outside to get into either of those hotels. But that's going to make things kind of interesting. Like, I think the only con I've been to that had a protest was like Anthrocon years ago. There was like 3 sad bastards standing in the rain protesting Anthrocon, and Kage went and had his picture taken with them. But yeah, so that's a wrinkle in this. Like this,
yeah.
This whole alt-right fascist drama that we're dealing with in the furry fandom right now, the science fiction community has been dealing with it since
a couple years.
Yeah, this is something that spun out of the Gamergate movement.
Yeah,
it's basically the same people that are Gamergate, sad puppies,
Comicgate, people mad about Star Wars,
the alt-right anime people, the alt-right brony people, the alt-right furry people. Like, it's all one big clusterfuck of undesirable poop.
Yep.
And so, yeah, we're going to Worldcon. So, yeah, we're going to be somewhere where there's going to be a protest.
Hopefully, you know, some fash will be bashed.
So, you know, if I come back and, you know, I kind of had this thought. I was like, you know, what if one of them stabs me or something like that? And like 10 years from now, you know, Uncle Fuzz, where did you get that gnarly scar? You know, I'll be talking to my niece. I'll be like, well, a fascist fucking took a knife to me at a convention back in 2018.
Yeah. Wow, what happened? Well, I screamed and ran.
Well, and then bled security on him. Tackled him.
So my dad was involved with the social rights movement back in the day. And, you know, he tangled with some Nazis, got shots fired at him from
them. Wow.
Yeah.
Is this the 60s during like the civil rights
kind
of era?
Okay. So, and, you know, he tangled with some, nearly got his ass shot. Some of those people are not fun.
No,
they're, in fact, not fun people. Similarly, relating to bad faith actors and fandoms, some dipshits are planning on bringing some MAGA-type pins and stuff for distribution at Denver, which because, you're also attending, Fuzz.
Because well, Rocky you're not attending. Mountain.
Yeah. So basically, they're putting these buttons out for people to. I guess they're assuming that people will willingly wear them to publicly ally themselves with that group of people, and that I guess they're expecting people to get mad at them instead of just telling them to fuck off, ignore them, and or refuse to sell to them.
Why not just tattoo "I'm a piece of shit" on your forehead?
You know, don't invite me to your room parties.
Yeah.
So if somebody walked up to your table wearing one of those buttons, would you actually refuse to sell to them?
Fuck yeah. Like, we actually had one of our staff members who was dealing for us at Rocky Mountain years ago. Like, a dude came up to the table in a Nazi outfit. And he basically was very uncomfortable and didn't want to help them. And I think somebody else did. And, like, he was apologizing to me later. And I'm like, dude, don't ever fucking apologize for that. Like, if some shithead comes up to you like that, you have my permission as the owner of the company to be like, we're not going to serve you here.
Yeah.
And if I'd been behind the table that day, I would have fucking said, you're not welcome here. Well, why? Because you're a fucking Nazi fur. We're not going to sell to you.
Go buy your porn somewhere else.
You know, and yeah, you can deal with the minor inconvenience of having someone that's not wearing the Nazi regalia go and buy your comic and we won't know the difference. Sure, whatever. But we're going to let you know, like, you're not welcome to buy from us. You know?
Yeah, it's like, oh, fuck off. Nope.
And I'm like, fuck, I want to make some of those parody versions of the Gadsden flags, like maybe order some buttons or something like that and have the Please No Steppy version or the
I Tread Where I Please.
I love the there's one that says I Tread Where I Please, and it's a drawing of a honey badger holding the snake in his jaws.
Is it yellow?
Yeah. It's exactly like the Gadsden flag.
Except it's honey badger.
Except it's got the honey badger like eating the snake.
So that'll be interesting to see if what happens, if anything.
Yeah.
Odds are people will try to get them out. There'll be a couple of sad fuckers that wear them, and everything else will get scooped up and thrown in the trash.
And it's not just me. I've already seen, this just came to light today, and I've already seen one other artist I know say, if I notice somebody wearing that badge, I'm not gonna sell to them.
Which is completely within our right to do.
Fuck these people. They're not welcome in our fandom.
Yeah. Your money, you might have 20 bucks, but I don't want your Nazi dollars. Fuck off.
Right, yeah. I mean, at least from my point of view, I'm like, I have a day job and so does Tyrion. Our bills are covered. We run for Planet because it's something that we believe in, and it's fun, and it's part of our hobby, and, like, we really believe in the shit that we're putting out there. If we're going to sell one less book because we tell some Nazi fur to fuck off, that doesn't mean we're not going to pay our fucking mortgage that month or anything, you know? It's completely no skin off my nose to tell somebody to go fuck themselves.
It's another avenue of social pressure against these fuckers that the fandom should employ. Like, if you're a vendor and you don't want to deal with these people, you are well within your rights to say, I'm not selling to you.
Like, artists, there are artists and fursuit makers that don't take commissions from them. There are vendors that don't want to sell to them at cons. There are cons where their regalia is banned. There are many accounts on Twitter, the major artists and other creatives into fandom that have mass blocked them. And this should just be a big glaring fucking message that, dude, you're wrong. You're on the wrong side of history. These views are not acceptable in 21st century society. And they are not acceptable in this highly queer and minority driven fandom.
Yeah.
You know?
If you publicly ally yourself with ideologies that will be harmful to queer and minority members of our community, you can fuck off. You wear that badge, you've put that red flag on yourself. I mean, it's great if people do, though, because it lets you know who to tell to fuck off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
thank you for making it easy to see who you are.
Yeah, exactly. And like the majority of furry publishers I know are queer in some way. And even the ones that are straight are extremely left-leaning. So like, yeah, at least as far as the furry publishing world is concerned, we don't want your shit, you know?
Christ, how so much of furry whatever is queer, it doesn't make sense.
Going on to a similarly related to goddamn fucking internet Nazis, Twitter. Twitter is bad, y'all. If you recall last week, I complained briefly about getting a slap on the wrist for wanting to fire TERFs into the sun.
Yeah.
Hope, I guess my tweet might, you know, one day radicalize Elon Musk and he'll strap fuckheads to rockets and fire them into space. But Twitter did a purge the other day. Mm-hmm. I lost like 16 followers. Did you guys notice that? Did you see?
I looked at my count after this purge took place. But I don't pay super close attention, so I couldn't remember what my follower count was before. So I don't actually know if I lost anybody. I mean, it looks more or less the same. If anything, it looks like it went up by a couple.
Yeah. Okay, so for me, like, I was like, oh, I've made some good tweets recently and gotten a bunch of followers. Yay. Internet points, right? Then, like, in one day, I dropped 16. But then I started seeing a lot of other people say, oh, no, I lost a bunch of followers, what's going on? And I was joking, like, oh, dentistry sure is scary, because I had been tweeting that I'd spent, you know, several hours at the doctor, at the dentist that morning.
Yeah.
And then it saw other people complaining, like James lost like 36, and wow, you know, other people lost dozens of folks. Mm-hmm. And what happened, this is what people figured out because Twitter safety tweeted it, that they have resuspended accounts for evading bans, essentially.
Right. But
this was also,
which on the surface sounds like a good thing until you read more.
People can get attacked on Twitter for anything. TERFs and alt-right and fuckheads like that run mass reporting groups. That's like how I got booped for a tweet made back in fucking April of last year today, where they just word searched and mass reported it with their networks. And so basically a lot of the people that got booped and banned were the people, queers and trans folks, who'd been attacked by alt-right and TERF types and gotten banned over it.
And had to make alternate accounts.
So what happened, the net result, was basically just a whole bunch of queer folk got kicked off Twitter permanently, while doesn't seem like any of the Nazis did.
Mm-hmm.
There sure are a bunch of them still. Basically, Twitter is very bad. And they're still refusing to take any sort of action on Alex Jones. Like, they gave him a 7-day timeout, apparently.
Yeah.
But he's still on the platform. And now they're talking about how, oh, we're going to start putting tweets from opposing views into your timeline. Or, like, they're considering it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they're experimenting with features that would promote alternative viewpoints in Twitter's timeline to address misinformation and reduce echo chambers. And what that net result will probably be is you put a young queer person's tweet in the midst of MAGA Twitter and gets the shitload of harassment, or you put some MAGA chud in the middle of your timeline where you're like, oh, look at this cute stuff. Cute stuff, cute stuff, cute dog, furry art, political discourse, the Holocaust didn't happen. Wait, what? You know, where you end up having some ridiculous evil shit show up in your timeline. And everyone's like, this is terrible.
So there was a guy that won a Republican primary for a congressional district somewhere who is a Holocaust denier. And like, there's like a 98-year-old woman or something like that. They actually did an interview, and it was like, I can tell you, Mr. So-and-so, whatever their name was, that the Holocaust did indeed happen. And I'm like, great, she's got to deal with this fucking chud running to be her congressperson.
Yeah, and then, of course, today, they broke the API for third-party Twitter clients, which is broken a lot of the functionality.
They removed a lot of functions that they didn't want third-party clients to have, because they're trying to get people to use their app, which,
but their app fucking sucks. Their
ads and stuff. But, like, you know, I could probably deal with the ads, because I totally understand that, like, yeah, okay, a company that has a lot of employees and is providing a large service
needs ad revenue.
Needs ad revenue. They need to make money somehow, and I'm not paying for Twitter, so they've got to be making it somewhere. But, like, so I'm like, okay, fine, I can kind of deal with that, and I just scroll past them or whatnot. But if I wish you could get rid of all the other horse shit that the Twitter apps, the official app does, like
reordering your timeline.
Like reordering your timeline in case you missed it. Your friends liked this, you know, all that kind of horseshit doesn't happen on Tweetbot and a lot of the other third party apps.
Yeah, and this update was pushed today, so it takes timeline streaming is now disabled. It'll auto refresh every 1 or 2 minutes, or you can manually refresh it. Push notifications are delayed. Push notifications for likes, retweets, follows, and quotes have been disabled. The activity and stats tabs have been removed. It used to have this little graph where you can see your I guess your score for the day, you know, or show
you.
You
can see how many likes and retweets and followers you had on one screen for that day.
And now,
and you can go to a tweet and see like who liked your tweet, who retweeted your tweet. You can still see who retweeted your tweet if you go to the actual tweet. But you can't see the likes anymore. You have to go to either the Twitter mobile site or, I guess, install the official Twitter app.
Yeah, and also the Apple Watch app has been disabled because it relied heavily on all the push notifications that they just took away the ability for third-party companies to use.
Right.
So what also really sucks is that Tweetbot's like $10 a year to purchase. So
no, it's $10 permanently.
Or it's $10 permanently? Yeah, all right, yeah. Well, so it's like $10 for an app that now has lost most of its functionality. And it's not their fault. It's Twitter being Twitter.
I know, yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like with Audio Shield when, you know, it came with YouTube streaming, and then after the fact, Google was like, yo, you can't do this anymore. And
because
they took
you
away.
You can't have ads on Audio Shield.
You know, it's the same kind of thing where they've taken away functionality because, you know, you're fucking with someone else's money in that regard, but it still sucks for the person who tries to use this hell site and wants to actually not see everything that their friends are liking.
Yeah. If their app didn't blow, you know, I wouldn't have as much of an issue with it.
There are some people that are kind of taking a step against Twitter.
Wheaton being a big one.
There's people basically like, look, just deactivate your Twitter and leave the platform. It fucking sucks. Stop using it. And honestly, I'm extremely tempted to do that. Mm. It takes up a lot of my day. It's very stressful. And as fun as it is to dunk on idiots, it's just not a good use of my time. You know, and that can be said of many things, but, you know, social media is just not good for you as a person, because just overloads your shit, yeah. And, you know, you're more worried about, oh God, is some idiot going to reply, or how did this tweet do? I thought it was really clever. It's a Skinner box where there's very little positive reinforcement. Well, Wil Wheaton has called on people to disable their Twitter and just leave the platform. I've seen people trying to push for Mastodon, which is a different sort of thing. People are like, it's kind of a weird fusion between IRC and Twitter and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I looked at the website today and it seems very complex.
I have a Mastodon account.
I heard about that. Heard about Mastodon. Don't know anything about
it. I'm on the Awoo incidents.
Okay.
But I haven't used it in ages, and I haven't even reinstalled the app since I got this phone.
Yeah, it seems complex, but, you know, there is an alternative. But the other thing is that people have run a block together list. Yes. This one put together a block together list of the Fortune 500 companies that advertise on Twitter to protest them not doing anything concrete against Alex Jones, that is to say, removing him from the platform.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's like 70,000 users of this block list that just blocks every major company that purchases advertising. Now, it doesn't block subsidiary brands. So it's not like it's going to block M&Ms or whatever, but it blocks the parent companies. And there's like 461 Fortune 500 accounts that are blocked through this. Like, it does block like Coca-Cola and other such like major brands that are also independent companies. But it is sort of like trying to show, hey, you know, if you guys are going to keep allowing the Nazis on your platform, well, we're not going to let you advertise to us, which is a completely valid way of pushing back. I don't see ads on my timeline because I use uBlock Origin, I think it is. So I don't ever have to see promoted tweets or ads for random shit.
Does that work on your phone too, though?
I have an app for my phone called, where is it? Because this is something, OneBlocker X.
What X?
I have an app for my iPhone called OneBlocker X, which is an ad block application that blocks ads in Safari on your phone.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I have one called Block Bear that blocks ads on Safari.
This one was something that Panther purchased, and through their family sharing, I got it installed on my phone too. He helped me with that. And it means that my mobile internet runs a lot faster because it's not downloading shitloads of ads. And, you know, yeah, it sucks that you're depriving, you know, some website of 0.001 cents, but it also means that it's not eating through all your wireless data because we have these tiny little caps for the most part.
And, you know, sometimes it's hard to see the content on the website through all the goddamn ads.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And not even clickbait stuff, but just like normal websites try to go do anything. It's like ad, 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 scroll.
I've seen so many of those screenshots where it's like a top bar, a bottom bar, and then an overlay ad all pop up. And the actual usable, readable thing is like an inch on the screen, maybe.
One thing I do like is those neat ads as you're scrolling and it kind of unveils an ad and as you like there's a background picture and it kind of scrolls over it.
I mean, that's not super obtrusive. No, so but it's not a big deal.
I just thought it was kind of a neat technology thing.
The ones I absolutely hate are when they're like, they open your phone's app store. Like, you should download this.
Yes. And they constantly fucking redirect you. It's like, I don't want to. And then you try to go back and it doesn't work and you fight with it and just can't get to the article.
Yeah. In good furry news, though, in really cool good furry news, our dude Sonic Fox is going to be a guest of honor at Megaplex 2019.
Nice.
Cool.
So
totally deserves it.
That is cool as hell. That is exciting to see. I imagine he'll be getting that sort of invitation from a number of other conventions for as long as he doesn't milkshake duck himself. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm pretty sure he won't. But, you know, he's going out there having fun. I think we mentioned it last week that people at Furadelphia were lining up to get bodied by him at Dragon Ball.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah.
They're just they're like, I just want you to kick my ass.
Kick my ass, please. Just destroy me. Like, I'll let you kill me. Like, I'll just pick Yamcha and you can kill me.
Wreck my ass like those 14 werewolves.
Yeah. And also, congrats to Foxamore and Pepper Cody for another successful Kickstarter.
Awesome. What was their final total?
$38,631 with over 500 backers.
Very
sweet.
And
that means they got their
full
top tier
orchestra
with Tanya Song doing the orchestration. So
nice.
That is going to sound really cool. Big congrats to those guys for putting together good music and having the support of the community. Like, they do some really good stuff, and that will make some good music in general. And then, like, yeah, it's good for the fandom, but it's just good music in general.
Yeah.
So it's great to see success in the furry sphere. Another cool thing on Kickstarter, not furry, but still very queer adjacent, is Iron Circus Comics. If you've heard of them, they do a lot of queer indie comics.
Yeah.
And they are doing a Kickstarter for, like, I think it's called, like, Sex and Robots, which is like, yo, it's sex and robots. And they got funded within the day of launching. And then, like, their tiers, their, like, stretch goals are per page pay raises for their artists. So they just keep adding.
That's what Erica Moan's Kickstarters do for Ojoy Sex Toy.
Yeah.
Like, the stretch goals are, you know, we'll pay additional amount to our guest artists, and because she draws most of the comics herself, but they have guest artists as well. And so yeah, the stretch goals are like, we'll pay our artists more. And I was like, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm gonna look it up because it's really cool to see, you know, that there are, it's called Sex Machines. I just love the, it's the pun, it's queer. Smut Peddler presents Sex Machine by Iron Spike. The four Smut Peddler anthology of erotic comics brings you the world's sexiest collection of dirty robot stories. They've gotten 58,000 of 20,000, and their stretch goals are all about, like, pay increases for their folk. They have, okay, so this is related to the artist. No particular order, the artists scheduled to appear in Smut Peddler Presents Sex Machine are name, Tits McGee, Roxy Thunderhug. So that's really cool. And they're getting more pay for their people as the Kickstarter goes up. And it's really interesting because she only does them in like 2-week chunks, like 2-week flash Kickstarters, because she's successful enough I say she because the leader, the lead,
Iron Spike.
Iron Spike is woman of color, and she's the head of it. And she's had great success this year doing these not really short run, but short Kickstarters, getting very queer indie comics out onto the net. I'll put a link in the show notes because even though it's not furry, it's very much within our wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. It's queer comics with robots and fucking, so I'm sure that'll turn somebody's crank. Ha ha ha. Mm-hmm. So Fuzz, you linked me something earlier today about
it was gaming related, and I figured you might have some input into it because of that.
So yeah,
and Brad, you knew who the guy was, so it's like, well, that's more than I knew, go ahead.
Yeah, so Stardock Software is run by an asshole named Brad Wardell. He's your typical internet reactionary, been abusive to women, Gamergator, that kind of shitty asshole kind of thing. And he is currently in the process of trying to sue the creators of Star Control 2 for the property rights to their game, as well as being able to strip them of having their names on the program. Basically, Stardock somehow acquired the assets of the game and started selling it without their permission. And the two guys that
the way I read it was like the douchebags company bought some of the assets of their company in a bankruptcy, but they did not actually purchase the rights to the game and the IP for it.
Yeah.
But they're now acting like they did. And like now that the original guys are trying to do like a 25th anniversary relaunch of their game, this other guy's company is trying to sue them. And apparently you said like he basically just outsued someone else until her money for legal representation ran out, basically.
Yeah, and then to settle the lawsuit forced her to write a letter of apology for ever daring to accuse him of sexually abusing her or just being a shit boss. And he then framed it and put it in his office.
Because he's an asshole.
Yeah, he's a real piece of shit.
Wow.
And this one's like, so on the GoFundMe, they're trying to raise $2 million for legal representation. And it's $24,000 of $2 million in a month. So that's a bit of a bad situation. But yeah, basically the gist of it on the GoFundMe says, but then, Stardock Systems, Inc., led by CEO Brad Wardell, filed a lawsuit against us seeking not just to prevent the creation of Ghosts of the Precursors, the 25th anniversary game they were trying to make, but also take our past creative work, but also, bizarrely, to strip us of credit as creators of the original game. And then, so how did Stardock get involved in this? In 2013, the corporation purportedly bought a few Star Control assets at a bankruptcy auction, but importantly, not our games or creative work. Shortly after the auction, Brad Wardell contacted us to see if we would help him make a new Star Control game, or at least license our creative work to Stardock. We gave a clear no to both offers, because we wanted to preserve our creative work for our own projects. For the next 4 years, Brad Wardell repeatedly asked to license the original material, and each time we rejected him. Brad assured us that Stardock would never, ever use any of our material without permission, and these assurances turned out to be false. Shortly after we announced Ghosts of the Precursors, Stardock claimed they had always had rights to our original creative material and began to bundle and sell our game without permission. When we tried to stop these illegal sales, Stardock filed their lawsuits. And we, Fred and Paul, have worked together for 30 years and have seen almost everything the game industry has to offer, but never have seen and experienced a predatory legal attack like this. An established computer publisher attempting to bully two lone developers into surrendering their most treasured game, characters, and unique universe. Basically, they're trying to, Fred Ford and Paul Reach are trying to crowdfund their legal defense because this fuckhead bully is trying to steal the rights to Star Control in general and Star Control 2. And it's such a weird-ass thing, because this guy's been involved in lots of bad shit prior to this, so it's not really surprising or new.
Right.
But it's just like, you're trying to take the rights and also strip the creators of being referenced as the creators? You're trying to erase them from the history of the game they created? That's just fucking evil. There's no reason to do it beyond being a spiteful dick. And there will be a link to the show notes for the GoFundMe, but it's just one of those things that don't spend money on Stardock games. There was a link, a Twitter thread from Zoe Quinn earlier today about her experiences with him and him being a douchebag, and like a picture that she took outside of their office with Brad's car parked out front across three parking spaces.
Oh my God.
And it was like, there is no better picture to illustrate what kind of person their CEO is, because it's the Stardock building and this douchebag's car just parked across a bunch of parking spots. Yeah, that'll be some show notes stuff. It was funny because you linked me that article immediately after I had just read a short thing on that situation, but I hadn't seen the GoFundMe yet.
Oh, okay. I'm helping.
You are helping.
I saw it because someone I follow retweeted.
It's such a weird bullying situation, and it's not surprising coming from that guy. Mm-hmm. But people probably don't know who he is for the most part, unless you were aware of the asshole players and Gamergate.
It was Zoe Quinn's book that you read, right?
Yeah, yeah. Crash Override.
Nominated for a Hugo, by the way.
Oh, cool. I could lend you it. I don't have the physical copy. I have a Kindle.
You can loan on Kindle for up to 2 weeks.
Oh.
So if you you did that, I would have to like basically be like, okay, I'm going to read this book now.
You can read it on the plane.
So that I can, you know.
In cool things, unrelated. Mm-hmm. The Food and Drug Administration has approved a generic EpiPen.
Good. Finally.
That is good for you and for other people.
Yeah.
I didn't know that you had a need for EpiPen also.
Anybody can have a need of an EpiPen if they have bad enough allergies.
I'm not allergic to any food the way Savern is. I'm allergic to fire ants like some people are bees.
Right. You know, I've heard of that allergy, yeah.
I didn't know that till I moved to Texas and made that awful discovery.
Oh, jeez. Because
you could end up needing one sometime if you accidentally ate some mushrooms and like you start going into anaphylactic shock.
I don't have that kind of reaction with mushrooms, but, you know, maybe in a concentrated dose or something like
that. Yeah, but it's been really shitty the last several years because one company has had the monopoly on it. And as things do, when you have a medical company with a monopoly, they jack prices up thousands of percent.
And we've seen this. Much like insulin, is technology that we've had for decades, if not a century.
Oh, yeah. It's just epinephrine in a suspension. It basically keeps your heart going when it doesn't want to. It forces open your airways. It's like getting hit in the chest with a fucking sledgehammer. It fucking sucks.
But it keeps you from dying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've had to use one precisely once. Mm-hmm. It's not fun.
Yeah.
But I didn't die.
Shellfish?
Yeah. And then the second time I had need of one but didn't have one, Primatene Mist was still on the market, and that's an aerosolized epinephrine inhaler, which is no longer on the market because their propellant was not ozone safe.
Oh.
So they're like, oh, we're looking at getting another one on the market, but they never did.
Shit.
Yeah, it fucking sucks. Like, I have two EpiPens right now that are technically near their out-of-dateness.
Yeah.
Because I got them from a friend of mine who was in the military, and they were depreciated for being too close to their use-by date, able to be shipped out.
How long do they last?
They last a couple years, and if they're kept in a neutral environment, like room temperature, they last a while. It's just when they start turning colors, like turning yellow, that it's not going to be as useful or as effective. So, like, the two that I have are probably not great anymore. They would have a lessened effect. But
they might keep you alive.
Yeah. And this means that other people can get them, because I think the price went up to, like, $600.
Yeah.
And that's, like, with insurance. Like, I have not asked my insurance, like, yo, how much does an EpiPen cost to get through you guys? I should find out.
I should too.
Because we actually do have really good prescription drug coverage. Like, all our shit's covered.
Yeah.
Which is really nice because a couple of the things I take, specifically Advair, is like $150 a month if you don't have it. Like, I couldn't take that pill for a while or that drug for a while because our prior insurance didn't cover it anymore because it doesn't have a generic. It's another one of those, they have the patent for this drug, and fuck you, we're charging what we want and what the shareholders demand and not what is good for humanity. Because capitalism fucking sucks, as we have.
Life-saving drug, you know.
I mean, like, even insulin's gone up crazy amounts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's so many people that are relying on insulin.
And it's fucking, like, we make it from pigs. Like, there's so many different ways that we can generate insulin. It's just because one fucking company has the patent on it. And they're like, we're just going to charge what we fucking want. And if you're going to die, I guess that sucks.
I think it's Eli Lilly that has that. And I only know that because they're in Indianapolis. And Siam is from Indianapolis. And he would tell me horror stories. Well, about, because one of the things that involves processing of it, it generates a very particular nasty smell because of how they have to treat to basically pull out the insulin, however they produce it. And yeah, it's god awful. But I only know that because, well, I heard about the smell and he mentioned Eli Lilly.
But it is nice that a new generic has been approved, and now it's just a matter of them getting to market in a manner that people can acquire them. Because, like, they should be able to be sold over the counter, ideally. Mm-hmm. They're literally a rescue inhaler or rescue device that can save someone's life in a situation where they've gotten into something they shouldn't have. Like, for me, I got randomly exposed to a very enthusiastically friendly golden retriever who'd been playing in his owner's field, and he had a bunch of mountain cedar trees, and he was sticky and got all up in me, which resulted in me nearly having a very severe, I did have a very severe asthma attack. You know, this was years ago, back when I worked at fucking Petco. That's a hell job. I was lucky that I had access to the resources I needed at the time, but an EpiPen would have prevented me from having to do the mad dash around to try to find a fucking Primatene Mist inhaler that I had to do. It's always good, and hopefully they will become more readily available. Like, honestly, I should see about, like, fucking stockpiling EpiPens if I can get them for cheap, if not free. And be like, yo, being the fucking EpiPen dealer. You know, it's like how I've seen some folks on Twitter being like, yo, I can get my refill of Spiro or other HRT stuff early, so I'll have this small stash of pills that I can, like, help other people if they're low that month. And it's like,
yeah,
it's so fucking stupid that our medical system is like that. All this bullshit and jumping through hoops and people sharing drugs or going without when they literally, like, are life-changing and life-saving because they don't have the huge amount of money demanded by these fucking parasite corporations who profit off of human misery. You know, basically, this is our anti-capitalist moment of the week. You know, single payer now, eat the rich.
It's like, I need that.
Yeah.
I need to be able to afford that.
Hard for the rich.
Just as a diabetic, you know, it fucking sucks to always have to worry about, crap, what happens if I'm out of, you know, work for whatever amount of time? How the fuck am I going to pay my bills? Never mind, how am I going to pay for my fucking medication? Because I suddenly have no insurance. Oh. I'm scared to death of that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for a little while, Panther and I didn't have insurance when he was transitioning from his prior company to the one where he works now. For, like, it was like a 2-year period, we didn't have insurance.
Yeah. When I lost my job, I ended up going on Saro's insurance just so that I could, you know, luckily his company, you know, covers domestic partnerships. So, you know, I was able to get on his insurance.
I've been very lucky that Panther's companies have always covered domestic partnerships well prior to gay marriage being legalized, so.
So here's an article that was just posted yesterday to NBC News on this topic. Americans rationing insulin as prices skyrocket. And I just happened to see that on Twitter as we were discussing it. So.
Mm-hmm.
It shit is happening. Oh, and that one guy I was telling you about, the author that got banned from Worldcon for being an asshole or whatever, and is running the protest. He tried to get into Worldcon today.
I mean, he said he was going to try to.
Well, he said he was going to protest. I didn't know if he said he was
going to. No, he said he was going to try to walk in and buy a badge, and people were like, nope, what a dumbass. He's just an attention whore.
Yeah.
You know, it's like those people that are, God, trying to, they're claiming, oh, you know, our alt-right comics are upending the comic industry. And they're like, oh, we made $25,000 worth of comic sales to like 1,000 buyers. And your shit looks like Poser with an overlay. They make their own little market of their own little niche and they go under. You know, this kind of grift happens all the goddamn time. You know, remember Milo Yiannabanana's privilege fund?
Mm-hmm.
Where all those dipshits gave them money and then he just fucked off with it. Or there was another right-wing dumbass group up in Canada that tried to sue a Canadian convention up there for kicking them out because they were being idiots. And the judge looked at them and were like, you're fucking idiots. Fuck off. and they're trying to raise money to pursue things further, even though the local judge, like, dismissed their shit outright. Oh, speaking of dumbasses filing suits against companies, the oral arguments for the dismissal of the faux lawsuit against Fur Affinity's parent company, IMVU, by that one, Roy Callback, I think his name is, the dumbass unicorn, is scheduled for, like, 2 weeks from now. So, like, they're gonna go in, be like, who the fuck is this guy? What? Fuck off. It'll be hilarious.
What's he trying to sue them for?
FA last year, I think it was, or maybe earlier this year. It was earlier this year, I think. Updated their terms and everything. And basically, they suspended a shitload of accounts that were, like, blatantly Nazi furs and other, like, ones that had, like, a lot of hate speech and stuff like that. So this guy is taking it upon himself to sue the parent company of Fur Affinity.
I hope his pockets are deep.
And it's sort of like, you know, they're a private entity. They can ban or suspend or allow any content or users that they want to, you know? Yeah, I mean, they could, if FA fucking banned me, I would be mildly upset, but I wouldn't be like, I'm going to sue you.
Well,
you know, that's their choice. I try to appeal it. A lot of them did try to appeal it. And if they, and I think in the cases of when they picked up some people that weren't shitty by accident, they reversed their ban. But yeah, this guy's actually taking it to court.
Well, this is also one of those sovereign citizen assholes.
I don't know if he is or not.
No, he is.
He is? Okay. All right.
And so he's like claiming all this bullshit and he like tried to serve papers against Dragonair via email, and it doesn't work that way. And, like, all the random capitalization you could ever want. And he's like, oh, you know, well, if I get awarded for Affinity in the lawsuit, well, I'm gonna blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yo, dream big, right? If you're gonna dream impossible dreams, dream big.
So I saw an absolutely fucking ridiculous argument. This was about Twitter, not FA, but in a similar vein, Junius was getting tweeted at by some idiot today on Twitter because she had said, you know, Twitter is not a government entity. The First Amendment doesn't apply to it. They can ban all these alt-right accounts if they want to. And someone actually replied, it's twitter.com, not .gov. That means it's a public website, so they can't ban anybody, because it was the discussion of public versus private. And she's like, that's not what we're talking about, and that doesn't work that way.
That's not how that works. That's not how that works at all.
Yeah, it was just,
I was like, when a Facebook,
really dumb take.
That's like people being suspended on Facebook claiming that Facebook is a public utility and should be regulated.
Right.
And people are like, yeah, it should, but not for the reasons you want.
Right. Yeah. The other thing that people like that are saying is that because Facebook and Twitter and Google are publicly traded companies on the stock exchange, they see that word public and they think that means that they can't ban anybody, that they're owned by the public, so the First Amendment applies. And I'm like, no.
That's not how that works. That's
not how that works at all. Like, these people are so fucking dim. I don't even know, like, what mental hoops or lack of education you would have to come to those kind of conclusions.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
All right, so, Shiva, what did you have this week?
I saw this one article today that was like, what the fuck? It was basically, there's this 87-year-old grandma, and she's from Syria, speaks English extremely poorly. She was out behind, on like some walking trails behind a YMCA, cutting dandelions, because you make salad out of it. So someone called the cops on her, but when they did, it's like, she's basically old. She had like a kitchen knife in her hand because she was using that to cut greens.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, she didn't threaten anybody with a knife. She's kind of wandering around. She doesn't really, you know, she doesn't speak English, but someone should probably come. So what do the cops do? They come out there like guns blazing. They try to communicate to put down the knife. One even took like a pocket knife out of his pocket and toss it on the ground to try and show what he was doing. And she didn't understand and she wasn't complying. So they tased her.
An
87-year-old woman who was, you know, out picking dandelions. Is there like coming up to her and talking to her and saying, you know, come on, you know, being kind of friendly, whatever. They tase. And I saw a picture of this woman. She is wrinkled. She is tiny. She is ancient. And she lives like right there behind the Boys Club and Girls Club or YMCA or something like that, which is where she was on like this trail. And no, they tased her and she's in the hospital now. Guys, this is a grandmother. She's fucking ancient. And she very clearly didn't understand. Why the fuck would you taser someone that old? It's like, well, she might have tripped and fallen and come and like step, you know, there was like an embankment and they tried to justify it by, oh, she might have fallen down and like stabbed herself or stabbed the cop and blah, blah, blah. So tasing her is clearly.
Yeah, it's like, she might fall and stab herself, so let's electrify the poor old lady and make her fall and possibly stab herself. The
thing is when you're that old, your heart's not that strong. Taking that many jolts to a body, you could have killed this lady. I mean, she looks 87. She looks ancient. Apparently she emigrated over like 20 years ago, has a whole brood of children. Her son's like a local pastor who's now retired from being a pastor. But what on earth makes you think, oh, there's a grandmother. She's obviously this little old biddy. What on earth would make you think, oh, let's tase her because that's the better solution here? Would you risk killing her for sake of you might get poked with a kitchen knife? I mean, come on. The likelihood of her killing you is so much less than you might stop her heart with a fucking taser. Come on. So I saw that. It's like, what the ever-living fuck are you thinking? And so far, the police have been very defensive of their officers.
Trying to justify it. I mean, they're always going to, because if they admit, yeah, that's fucked up, people can sue them, which is also fucked up, because they have to, like, make up bullshit defenses for a clearly indefensible thing.
Mm-hmm. So it's, I saw that. It's like, God damn it, people. I mean,
yeah, the quote in the article says, if three police officers couldn't handle an 87-year-old woman, you might want to reconsider hanging up your badge.
Oh, you found the article?
Yeah.
You see what I mean? She is ancient. She is little and wrinkled. She looks 87. Like, do you feel like a big man? You have now put an 87-year-old woman in the hospital who just didn't understand you.
Yeah. She was charged with criminal trespass and obstructing an officer Friday when police held her at gunpoint before bringing her to the ground with a jolt from a stun gun. Relatives said Al-Basara did not speak English and is merely out cutting dandelions with a kitchen knife near her home. An 87-year-old woman with a knife still has the ability to hurt an officer, Chatsworth Police wimp-ass Chief Josh Etheridge told us Daily News.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
There was no anger. There's no malice in this, he said. In my opinion, it was the lowest use of force we could have used to simply stop the threat at the time.
How about just walking up to her, no guns, talk to her, gesture for her to come this way, you know, something.
And of course, you know, traumatize the old woman.
Yeah. Do they have that article have the picture of her in the fucking hospital bed?
Yeah, she's some, like, wrinkled-ass old woman. It's ridiculous.
Why? I mean, what were you thinking?
Yeah, so that's a fucked up cop thing of the week.
There's so many ways that could have gone that would not have resulted in tasing an 87-year-old woman. And someone who posted this, someone replied, blah, 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 like, this is what happens for basically raising stuff against, like, the left raising issues against the cops. It's like, and everybody were replying to him. It's like, dude, if you think Black Lives Matters can't cause police brutality, you need to kind of...
You got shit.
It's not
up.
Causality there. It came out of police brutality. Now, the woman is an ex-coworker of mine, and I liked her very much. She's Polly, but she's very... She's libertarian. But she's socially pretty much just people do what you want. And she's also expressed how frustrating it is to be part of any kind of libertarian group and be a woman because, you know, fuck you. I'm just sputtering because I'm still like, oh my God, how could you do this? But this dude was like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. This is where what Black Lives Matters and everything else is what, you know, and critiquing the police is what. Do you really think Black Lives Matters what made them tase a fucking 87-year-old grandmother? No. No, not in the least. That's poor training. That's being fucking garbage, honestly.
Yeah, just being a bully looking for a reason to use your shooty bang stick. You know, there's no fucking reason for them to have done that. And, you know, you've traumatized an 87-year-old woman. I hope you feel like a big man, because anybody that knows who did it is going to fucking ridicule your ass, as well they should.
Yeah, it's a fucking joke. But that was the most thing that made me go, what, besides the ever-living background of what the fuck is going on now, that's constantly happened, but that was the thing that jumped out and went, fucking why? Because that's unreasonable. Unreasonable. Completely.
So, it's past 10 o'clock, guys. We should probably wrap it up, unless you guys have anything further.
No, I've sputtered my last bit of indignation. Well, not my last, just... I don't have any specific examples to bring up.
Yeah. It's okay.
So, you can find us, as always, on pretty much everything South Podcast, including Patreon.
Yep.
Where we do appreciate any subscriptions that we get. We have our episode that comes out, well, every time we record it. You guys do Fox and Wolf Movie Time as a bonus episode that only our Patreon folks get. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Tumblr. Always underneath South Podcast. And I usually don't do this, so I'll let you guys.
Is that pretty much everything? Patreon, email,
Tumblr. Yeah, and then, of course, you can also find us on Twitter, I guess, until we deactivate our accounts, at Saverin Drake. Twitch, just Saverin. I've been playing Wolfenstein 2. That's a really difficult game. It's really, like, uncomfortable. Fuzz?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter for the time being, at FuzzWolf. Yeah, that's about it. For Planet.com, for print books, BadDogBooks.com for ebooks. If you're going to be at Worldcon Denver or Method Fur Meet, that just covers the next 3 weeks. We will have tables there. We'll also have tables at Midwest Fur Fest at the end of the year. And I guess... Oh, and Alamo City Furry Invasion down in San Antonio in
October. It's like the first weekend of October, I think.
It's sometime in October. Google that shit.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, I am not on my shit tonight. Sorry. I'm getting tired. I didn't sleep well last. I didn't sleep long last night, I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, good night.
And fuck Nazis.
And big books.